sweetheart. Oh. Good morning, Unity of New York. Woo! Boy, am I glad to be here with you today. Oh, man. What a weekend, huh? Wow. Kind of like a roller coaster ride over the last couple of weeks, right? You know, a while back when Britt asked me to speak today, I didn't really put it together what an amazing date I had been assigned. Considering those enormous events that moved through our world on Friday in Washington and in 370 women's marches all around the world. Yes. Unprecedented figures, unprecedented freedom. If you took part in any of the marches, would you please stand up for just a moment today? Woo! Wow. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Please be seated. Now, for those of us who might not be familiar with the title of my talk today about being more than enough, I want to clarify it just a little bit. First of all, I just love the phrase. I think it sounds kind of sassy and southern. Sort of like I would hear Kathy imagining, I imagine Kathy saying in my head, saying, "Girl, you are more than enough." I love that. I don't really remember when I first became aware of Unity affirmations like more than enough. I have more than enough time. I have more than enough energy to get me through today. I have more than enough wisdom and poise to carry me through this job interview and come out with exactly what I want. Something about these affirmations, though, just resonated with me, and they became real reminders of who I am and who the daily potential is that we all have as beloved children of God. Well, at first glance, I suppose that feeling more than enough is really kind of like self-esteem or spiritual self-worth. It's realizing that we have an extra powerful blessing at work in our lives all the time. And I believe that this feeling springs from our faith and our practice. Now, faith, of course, as you've heard today, is one of our 12 powers we focused on last year and the power of the month of January. Faith is our ability to believe or perceive. And as it says so beautifully in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is confidence that what we hope for will happen, and it assures us that even if our human eyes can't see the good right this minute, it's already there. Faith can help us change our thinking from feeling less than or uncertain at any moment, and it helps us access that knowing that we are more than enough. Global visionary and author of The Soul of Money, Lynn Twist, defines a similar idea in what she calls sufficiency. She writes, "We each have the choice in any circumstance to step back and let go of the mindset of scarcity. By sufficiency, I don't mean a quantity of anything. Sufficiency is an experience, a declaration, a knowing that there is always enough and that we are always enough. It's an act of knowing the power and the presence of our existing resources and our inner resources." So let's talk a little bit more about that practice component of being more than enough. Here in Unity, we know and embrace our five principles, and you can refresh your memory in the bulletin just inside on the fold. I think one of the reasons that we all come here on Sunday morning is to remind ourselves of these truths and to remember and practice them. We believe, of course, that God is absolute good and everywhere present. Since God is good as God's creations, we are good too. We believe our thoughts and our beliefs create our experience of life and that our awareness of God increases through affirmative prayer and meditation. We practice these spiritual truths in our lives. So if we walked in here this morning believing that God is good and that we are God's creations, then it stands to reason that God's going to have some great support and love available to us. Now, just in case you're still a little uncertain about that, the Bible is peppered with assurances that we have all we need and more to share. From the book of Jeremiah, we read, "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and give you hope and a future." From 2 Corinthians, "And God will provide you with every blessing and abundance, that you may have enough for everything." And of course, the most simple and beloved verse from the Psalms, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But if all these inspiring verses, they're nothing if we just know them by rote. Today, as we remember that we are more than enough, I invite you to embrace our practice as well as the faith. Now, the Unity philosophy is also known as practical Christianity, meaning that we practice our principles. I also sort of like to think that since these important guidelines for living evolved from that solid Midwestern stock of our co-founders, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, that they are also laced with practical common sense guidance as well, particularly as they honor our paths as spiritual beings having very human experiences. Now, with all these powerful reminders of how strong we are, how can we ever lose sight sometimes of how well we are loved by Spirit? Well, I confess some mornings I do get up on the human side of the bed. I have to feel around forever, and sometimes I never find my self-worth slippers to put on that day. Sometimes I get up and I am feeling small, as Paul Simon sang. Maybe I woke up fretting about a scary change that is coming, or maybe just took place. Maybe I'm comparing myself unfavorably to someone else. Wow, you know, she's so much smarter than me, so much more together and beautiful and slender. Just insert whatever attribute you want in that phrase. I think things like, oh man, you know, he's got so much more money and power and clout. What do I have to offer? What do I do to make any difference at all? Anybody else ever have those feelings? Oh, yeah. Here's where we can run aground and get sucked into our human struggle with doubt and fear and low self-esteem. We get tangled up in our human thinking. Psychology today defines self-esteem as healthy respect for ourselves. But in our highly competitive, achievement-oriented society, just about everybody can be affected by episodes of low self-esteem. The good news is that having low self-esteem is mostly learned. Did you know that? It's fed by our poor habits and our attitudes and our self-talk. But by changing our thinking and practicing some new skills, we can replace poor self-esteem with a healthier outlook. And here's a couple of really good common sense suggestions to consider when we wake up feeling small. Number one, they say, is avoid generalization. Well, I think that's a pretty good directive in any circumstance. If you ever find yourself feeling like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh and saying, oh, I have low self-esteem, just stop it. It is self-defeating, and it isn't true. Focus for a minute and take a breath and be specific about those little parts of your life where you might lack some confidence, like weight or public speaking skills or the ability to attract your right partner. Slapping a big old low self-esteem label on yourself is very different from saying, I have some issues here. Pick one issue to work on and focus on that. Number three, they say, is a version of lighten up. For example, like me, if you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror and you go, oh my God, my hair looks horrible. Well, stop it. Just step back from that just a moment and realize it's just a negative thought. Also, think back just for a while about how this might be some really old self-doubt that's creeping up and triggering your current reaction. Maybe you freaked out in the fourth grade when you had to give up and get a book report. And maybe that just scared you to death for public speaking. Maybe you lived right in the face of your parents' divorce, and it shook your hope about finding a good relationship. But let's move on. It's a new day every day. Here's my favorite of these suggestions, and this is a direct quote. Create positive sanctuaries in your life where on a regular basis you can receive supportive, realistic, and affirming messages. Interesting choice of the word sanctuary, right? Does that sound a little bit like Unity of York to you? Right here on Sunday morning and in our classes and our workshops and through Unity Care Outreach and prayer with our chaplains, this community is always ready to know the truth with you, that you are a child of God, and we encourage you to move forward in your life in a healthy and constructive way. Look around for a second. Everyone here is ready to know with you that you are more than enough. Now, one of my very favorite Bible stories about having more than enough is the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. This particular story stands out among the others, though, because this is one of the rare ones that is reported in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This was a mega miracle, literally one for all the record books, it seems. As Bishop John Shelby Spong has often reminded us from this platform, each gospel tells their story just a little bit differently. One version says the disciples hadn't had anything to eat all day and they were starving. And another reports that the disciples argued with Jesus about how much it was going to cost to do all this feeding of everybody. But mostly the story is consistent throughout. So I want to set the scene. Jesus and his disciples had a really crazy week. They had all piled into a boat and put out on the Sea of Galilee to travel to where they hoped would be a deserted place where they could catch a break from the needy crowds that had been serving and served all week. However, the people just weren't ready to let them go, and they watched the boat and followed along the shore to keep an eye on them. So by the time they returned to shore, a huge crowd had gathered. Now, the scripture says that Jesus felt compassion for the crowd, and he got off the boat, and he began healing and teaching again. But after some hours, the disciples finally came to him and said, "Look, man, you know it's getting late here, and these people are going to get hungry soon. Why don't you send them away and so we can get back to town and get some food before it gets dark?" Well, Jesus didn't blink an eye. Maybe he sensed that this was a teachable moment. He said something unexpected. He said, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." Well, at the very end of a very long week and a very long day, I can just imagine the look on the disciples' faces, right? I bet there was some serious eye rolling going on. What was he talking about? You know, suddenly Jesus was asking them to step up and serve in a different way. You give them something to eat. But he did give them a little more guidance, thankfully. First, he said, "Okay, guys, go and check and see how much food we really have." And when they came back and reported that there were 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he said, "All right, let's get organized. Go and tell all these folks to gather up in small groups and have a seat and rest on the grass for a while." Sounded kind of like my mama going, "Y'all have a seat and we'll get supper on the table," right? And it sounded pretty optimistic to me, too, as Jesus was inviting the disciples and the crowd to expect and prepare for the best. Then Jesus took the loaves and the fishes and he looked up to heaven. He changed his perspective, didn't he? He took focus away from any evidence of lack. And in faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen, he practiced his faith. He prayed. He gave thanks. He focused on God, the source of all good, and he was grateful for what they had. He took that next critical moment and praised God for the results he knew would come about. Now, that's a powerful lesson, isn't it? To bless and give thanks for the good that is already evident and for what you expect. And then he took the fish and the bread and he gave the pieces to the disciples and distributed through the crowd. Now here was a chance for them to multiply their supply by giving and sharing. giving because they were grateful for God's generosity. As Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore wrote, "We increase our vitality by blessing and giving thanks. It's been found," he said, "by experience, that a person increases his blessings by being grateful for what he has. Gratitude is a huge magnet, and when gratitude is expressed from the spiritual standpoint, it is amazingly powerful." I love this little idea. The custom of saying grace at the table has its origins in man's attempts to use this power of increase. So now if we take a look at some of the iconic images in the story from a metaphysical point of view, bread represents universal substance, the energy out of which everything is created. Breaking the bread means stirring into action. As Eric Butterworth might have reminded us here, first Jesus prayed, and then he got to work, taking action to take care of this challenge. Now, you know, Jesus talked about fish a lot, right? Fish represent ideas of increase, representing inexhaustible abundance. And then the Bible says they all ate, and they were satisfied. After having fed 5,000 people, the disciples collected 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. There was more than enough to go around. Wow. Those disciples had not only witnessed an astonishing miracle in the outer, but you know they had to feel the empowerment of knowing that in that moment, they were more than enough to meet any challenge in their discipleship. So what is our lesson today? What can we take from this ancient teaching on January 22nd, 2017? Maybe today, in the early days of our new presidency and our self-proclaimed year of abundance, maybe this is our teachable moment. In everything we've seen and heard in America over the last few months, could it be that Spirit is calling us to serve in a new way? When you walked into Symphony Space this morning, you might have felt a little banged up over the last few weeks. And if you marched on Saturday, I bet you're feeling a little travel weary or foot sore or just plain tired like the disciples. It might be human nature right now to want to push back and say, come on, I've only got so much here. But if we take this Bible story to heart, in light of what is happening in our world today, I believe that Spirit is saying, trust me, you are more than enough. Now I caution you, once you realize you're more than enough, it means you're unlimited and there's no going back. There's no playing small anymore. It means that we are entitled to loving relationships, supportive friends, equal pay for equal work, balance in our lives, laughter, and spiritual connection. We are entitled to live in a peaceful world where we are respected and respectful, where we are kind to one another and can practice our faith traditions and beliefs without fear. So where do we go from here? Here's a very simple suggestion. Hang on to your faith and your practice and reach out to recover your optimism. I want to close out here with a little story about a small company that some of you might be familiar with. I've seen their T-shirt logo around for a while, but something in the topic today just made me want to take a closer look at them. The Life is Good Company started some years ago by a couple of brothers named John and Bert Jacobs, who just wanted to make art for a living. When they were little kids, at dinner every night, their mom, Joan, always asked them to tell one thing that was good about their day. And evidently, they really took that to heart. I want to just share an excerpt from their website, and I encourage you to look into this further because they do some great work. It says, each one of us has a choice to focus our energy on obstacles or opportunities, to fixate on problems or focus on solutions. We can focus on what's wrong with the world or cultivate what's right. Because as Unity Truth students, we know that what we focus on grows. The Life is Good community's mission is to spread the power of optimism. Optimism empowers us to explore the world with open hearts and an eye towards solutions, progress, and growth. Amen to that. Ladies and gentlemen, let's take today's realization that we are more than enough and reclaim our optimism to bring it back into the world today. You know you have all you need and more. All the wisdom, all the heart and soul and love and energy that you can ever imagine. However you define the challenges that face us today, make the choice to use your year of abundance and all that you can bring to focus on the solutions with optimism. And so it is. Amen. Thank you, guys. We are so blessed. And as we move into our time of meditation, I invite you to close your eyes and relax. Feel the chair supporting you. And consciously choose to be still and go within. As the presence of stillness fills this great space, let it settle around you. With intention, we turn our focus in and return to that most familiar place of all, the depths of our heart. In our individual oasis of meditation, we are surrounded with the infinite peace and calm as we rest in God. Just as we allow this calm to pervade our hearts, our bodies and our busy spirits are also calmed. Our breathing is deeper and slower. Right now, right here, for this perfect moment in time, it's just you and spirit, and there is no need to worry or rush. Whenever I need calm or courage or compassion, this is my perfect refuge and my infinite source. No matter how my outer world might look today, here in this safe harbor of God, I am protected and carried by the mighty flow of love, and I know that all things are possible. Whatever unfolds for me this week is whatever is mine to do or say or be. I know that I am divinely guided. I am ready. I am more than enough to greet this week with love and strength. The Lord is my shepherd, and I have no fear. I am well equipped and well able to shine God's light in the world. Infinite resources are mine to draw from. Clear, deep wisdom, patience, and abundant time. The energy to fuel my highest aspirations. I name them and claim them this morning. And as we move into our time of silence, I put aside any concerns and feel a shift to a higher vibration. I see my heart of spirit leading me on the right and perfect path in this week of divine opportunity. In the silence.
breathe in the breath of God. And in these last remaining seconds, gather peace and hope and bring them back into this space with you. Gently become aware of others around you and feel your feet back on the floor, grounded again. We joyfully return to the world, a world that is waiting for all the optimism we can bring this week. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with us. And so it is. Amen.